May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 748. In darkness born I went astray, and wandered from the gospel way, and since the Saviour gave me sight, I cannot see without his light. 748.
Let us read from the sacred pages of God's Word, from the book of Revelation, chapter 3. Revelation 3. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful, and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast, and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come to thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich, and increase with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eyesalve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let us pray. Most holy, gracious, eternal, long-suffering, almighty, three in one, one in three, Lord God, do grant us that help now as we come this evening hour of worship. And O blessed Spirit, do thou be pleased to be the dew of life and a blessing in our midst. Do thou bring the presence, the knowledge, the blessing, the atonement of the Son to our souls. Lord, this is not a light request. We are in need of it, but very aware we deserve not the least of thy mercies. Lord, is it not all of thy grace? And can we not plead grace? We are made, compelled, and what a mercy to do so, to plead grace. Lord Jesus, remember us in mercy now, and grant that our souls and hearts may be under the influence of the dew of the Spirit, that we may mourn over our sins and after thee. Oh, that thou wouldest make thy sufferings precious unto us, but also effectual. Oh Lord, it is not just a knowledge, it is an influence of grace. Oh, do cause our souls to feel living, to live through thy death, thy resurrection, to be justified in thy blood shed
to know that our sins were put away in thy dying. No condemnation, no more charge for sin. The death of the glorious Lamb, the substitute for his people. O dear Lord, do lead us to the blessings of the word of the gospel. We may behold the Lamb in him, Lord, and we may see Jesus by living faith, or by divine leading, by the light of thy mercy, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned, O crowned, to know thee crowned. Lord, we shall not know thee crowned except through the sufferings of thy death, but to know thee crowned and set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Do thus cause us to know the mercy of our high priest, making intercession for us. Draw us, Lord, draw us this evening hour as we come to thy house. May thy tender fear be on our hearts. May we reverence thee. Give us that quiet, humble awe of the solemnity of thy majesty may be known in our lives, that sovereign grace, free grace, sovereign love, free love, may be our drawing and our foundation. Dear Lord Jesus, we do come to thee now, in whom is the fullness of the Father. O Father, o'er whom no man can see, whom no man can approach, for our God is a consuming fire, O look upon us through the glory of thy Son, through the pure one offering that pleased thee. O dear Lord Jesus, thou art one with the Father. Oh, may we be found in thee as one with the Father. Oh, do hear us. We deserve not the least of thy mercies. Help us to constantly confess our sins. Lord, it is an hourly business, heart-searching hourly business, so it seems to me. Lord, help us, but give us the sweetness, the witness of the blessings of thy face, thy visit, thy blessing which maketh rich. So remember us as we gather round thy word. Dear Lord, we pray that we may have the eternal weight of our souls, O Lord, upon us, that we may know the eternal God, the eternal Son, the eternal Spirit, without beginning, without end, proceeding from the Father. Do help us, Lord. We ask these rich blessings. Lord, leave us not to hide under a false shelter, Lord, of our own making, our own excuse and poverty. For surely, is it not those that look for thee, that watch for thee, that wait for thee? Is it not the humble poor who need thee, who are brought, Lord, to desire thee, to know more of thee, to know more of thy blessing? Oh, but help us, Lord. Does not grace work in the midst of all our infirmities and all our unbelief? That is the glory of thy grace and love, the glory of the gospel. Lord, that thou wast found of them that sought thee not. It is a mercy, Lord, and it is all of thy grace. It is not unto us, Lord, it is not unto us, but unto thy name we would give glory. So do help us now this evening hour. O Lord, if thou wouldst leave us, we shall fall. Without thee cannot live. So do help us as we come into thy house. Dear Lord, help us to realize it is thy house. As we've come through the gates into the doors of Zion, dear Lord, may our heart be beyond the stretch for the living waters, the living waters. Remember this house of prayer. What we pray for this hill of Zion, we pray for Zion at large. Bless thy servants that come to preach the word. May they be thus, saith the Lord. Remember thy servants on the walls of Zion this night. Bless them in their labours. Dear Lord, remember us in the churches, the editors of our denominational magazines, the secretaries of our church societies. Bless them in their labours. Remember thy servants in affliction laid aside and the end of the journey. Be gracious. Remember the friends that gather in place to place. Dear Lord, make thyself known. Bless this house. Remember the dear deacons. Be gracious to them. Strengthen them, the church, the congregation. Thou knowest their need. Thou knowest their cases. Remember all age friends. Think of friends we know and those unknown, those in senior years. Oh, do visit them ere they die. Oh, do bless them and establish them. Those likewise in their middle days, prepare them for thy will. Oh, Lord, put us on the foundation. Help us to cast our care on thee. Remember young men and women going forth in life, the dear children, the sweet babes. May there be heirs of glory. May thy tender fear be in their heart. Bring them to prayer to know thee. Provide for them as they go forth in life in all things. They so feel to need and to ask thee for them. Bless the Sunday school here, the instruction. Dear Lord, remember all friends in affliction, pain, suffering. Oh, may all these things work for our good. Have mercy, have mercy, spare, restore, grant healing, grant help, grant thy presence above all things. Dear Lord, those under medical supervision, think of those in hospital facing or others facing operations. Be very gracious unto them. Dear Lord Jesus, do grant thy blessing then upon thy waiting people. Have mercy on us in Zion. Remember thy one church through the earth. The missionaries where thy name is feared, thy word is read. Dear Lord, remember us in the nation. Have mercy on England, these British islands. The most deplorable, solemn condition that we are in. We hardly know where to begin to pray, but we plead for the remnant's sake and for thy great name's sake, mercy for us, lengthening mercy so undeserved upon us as a nation. Open the eyes of our leaders to their shame, touch our Queen, lengthen out our Protestant heritage, our religious and civil liberties, freedom to worship, we pray. Now, Lord, we bless thee, thank thee for all thy goodness and thy mercies to us. Oh, we are daily surrounded with provisions. we would render thanks. O dear Lord, the answers to prayer, the helps, thy great goodness. O dear Lord, openest thine hand, that those spiritual mercies, O the throne of grace, our great high priest, his blood, the word of God, Zion's cause, the Holy Ghost, O Lord, make these things realities to us, with thy visit, with thy dew, with thy teaching, with thy leading, with thy blessing. So we humbly pray, may we at all times confess our sins. May we at all times plead in reverence, with understanding, with light, the full grace and merit of thyself, Lord Jesus, for our life, for our life, for our soul. So, dear Lord, bless the singing of thy worthy praise. Thou knowest how each have come. Every case, every heart is known here. The circumstances, the desires, the motives, the thoughts, all known to thee. May we know that thou, God, seest me. O dear Lord, guide us with thine eye. Guide us with thy counsel. Teach us in the way, or that we may put on the Lord Jesus Christ in all humility, in all tender fear, in all wisdom, the Lord, in all wonders of grace, miracles of grace, miracles of mercy. Help us to put thee on. Save us from making shipwreck. Have mercy on us. Bring us safely on through the journey. Lord Jesus, be thou our light in thy word. And may we hear thy voice. Be merciful unto us. We must so often join the publican. Lord, he prayed, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, what a gospel. He went down to his house justified. So give us that grace to look to thee, although we read he could not as much as lift up his eyes unto heaven. O dear Lord Jesus, it's the desire of the heart. Grant that the desire of the righteous may be filled. So come Lord Jesus. We ask all things. Oh, Lord, help me. We ask all things in thy worthy name, and for thy sake, come, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Hymn 1112. Blessed are the humble souls that see their emptiness and poverty. Treasures of grace to them are given, and crowns of joy laid up in heaven. 1112.
Thank you.
in complete dependence upon the Lord, I would draw your attention to the book of Revelation, chapter 3, the chapter we read, and verse 20. Revelation 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Since late this afternoon, and coming here and in the vestry, I've almost felt compelled to turn to verse 8. I know thy works, behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, hast not denied my name. Very attractive word, and word follow on from this morning. But it was yesterday afternoon, early afternoon, in the sunshine, in the front, a garden where I was when this morning's text flowed in. And then in a few moments, this text flowed in, verse 20. And as much as I would probably find verse 8 easier, naturally speaking, that is, although, of course, it is the dew of the Spirit that is the only blessing, I've just got to try and keep to what the Lord has said. Behold, he says to Laodicea. Of course, the church at Sardis and Laodicea, which we have read of, were in a solemn state. You know, God's people feel they're lukewarm, don't they? But if you were, you wouldn't be concerned. And he almost says, I wish you were hot or cold. Cold, of course, very solemn. But there, grace will work. But lukewarmness speaks of hypocrisy, presumption. Are you troubled? You know, that's the thing God's people fear, to be lukewarm. You know, there's a solemn pronouncement that I will spew thee out of my mouth. But you don't forget, the word goes with this. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, but have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Friends, let conscience speak. What a mercy if you know your poverty, that you're miserable, wretched, blind, naked. It's pain, it's a reality before God. In nature, you know your own poverty. You know your ruined condition. It's been brought to the soul. It's a mercy, friends. Because then, before God, you would not say, I am rich. Lord, Lord, have I not cast devils out in thy name? Have I not done many wonderful works? Friends, what a mercy to be humble as we have read of. When you read that word, it's a solemn word, you know, but if you're under divine teaching, you won't feel yourself to be very rich for you. The only riches you want and need
is in the Lord himself. But I will come to the word, perhaps not in the context of Laodicea. I did not intend that, but to treat it as a gospel word. This door we have is a different gate and a different door to what we have before us this morning. This is the door of the heart. This morning was the gates of Zion, Christ the door. This is the door of the heart. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. You know, dear friends, when the Lord starts to knock, it will be effectual. It will be effectual. He doesn't start to knock and then stop. If there's the case where it's only a half work, or eventually we turn back and walk no more with him, it wasn't the Lord who was knocking. It was natural conscience, natural conviction, a natural religion, a natural understanding. Is the Lord knocking? There is a beginning of days. There is an effectual calling in the knocking. But you know, dear friend, I believe the Lord is always knocking at the door of his people. And what a mercy. Behold, I stand. Oh, let us see this. I stand. The Lord stands. He who died. He who suffered. He who groaned. And he stands and knocks at the door of the heart in love. We could speak, of course, in one sense, the door of this church, Laodicea. And in that sense, we could also speak it in that way. I will probably be speaking both ways, a personal way and in the sense of the church, but not in the same way that we mentioned this morning, which was Zion's gates and Jesus being that door. But he stands at the door of the heart, principally, and knocks. Oh, I stand at the door and knock. The door of circumstances. The door of afflictions. Now, a door, you see, there's an entering in, as we said, there's an entering into circumstances. There's an entering into trial. There's an entering into afflictions and so forth. And this is the door of the heart. I stand at the door and knock. May we call this effectual calling. Youth he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. You know, and if we're an exercised living soul, you will be in constant exercise and awareness that that lamp goeth not out, that that grace, the same grace given, may grow. Not a different grace, not a different line of things. The same principles, the same blessings may grow, may be watered. We can, of course, speak as churches, our own denomination, but I'm not intending to do that. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. We don't go Zion bashing. But I take it this as a, I want to speak in a personal way. Of course, it is to Laodicea. It's at their door. But I take it, I want to speak in a personal way, in a gospel way. The Lord stands at the door and knocks. There is a beginning of days. You know, there is a constant knocking, is there not? The Lord, do you want the Lord to speak? The old folks used to speak of a speaking voice. Circumstances, trials, difficulties, sorrows. Friends, they're a glaring voice. They're an obvious voice. You know, but it needs grace to hear them, doesn't it? You know, do you follow me? The Lord speaks by silence. Is it a voice to me? God's silence is like a voice. It's like a voice. If you're a living soul, you must have the supply. But be not silent unto me, cries the psalmist, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Be not silent. Friends, are you affected by the Lord's silence? A living soul will be affected by God's silence. This is a voice to him. He will search and try his ways. He will have to rend his heart and not his garments. But all the effectual calling. What a great mercy. From the very beginning, the Lord continues the same work, you see. There's an effectual calling, and he maintains that constant call. It's not a once call, and then, well, you know, we're on the journey, and we're all going to heaven. Friend, it's a constant daily exercise. As if the Lord was leading. Did he not every day lead them in the desert way, round and round? He didn't leave them in that calling, did he? He doesn't leave us in that calling. You know, the prodigal son, he began to be in want. And he remembered his father's house. What a voice. What a knocking. What a knocking of his conscience. See, grace, grace effectual. And the woman at the well, you know, how the Lord drew in conversation. She seemed to be completely unaware until he began to knock. Go, call thy husband. And conscience. Oh, I have no husband. Isn't that thou hast rightly said? And so forth. Thou hast had five husbands. Sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. What a mercy stood at that door, you know. Friend, does he search us? Does he lay things before our eyes? We said this morning and mentioned this afternoon about the motive of our hearts. He stands at the door of our heart, and he knocks, and he knocks. You know, dear friend, but I've got to say this, and I'm speaking to myself here, oh, for grace to hear. And oh, for grace to act upon. Oh, for grace to act upon. What an awful thing if we know the Lord is speaking and it has no effect on us. Does it search you? It does me. You know, we almost say, well, if the Lord speaks, we know it's going to be all right. He knows he's going to deal with it. You know, dear friends, he works on the heart. It's confession. It's by a walk, a conversation, confession. A confession of him to bear his reproach. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Well, dear friends, look at us today. What's knocking? What knocks us, friends? Well, I don't know about you, but it's not where you begin, it's where you finish. There seems to be no finish to it, does there? It's constantly showing us our daily need. Friend, our need of him. And this is the purpose of him knocking. It's the purpose of him knocking. And our text gives a reason why he's knocking. And what a mercy that he's knocking. You know, that knocking is an eternal knocking. It's an eternal warning. It's an eternal warning, dear friends. A gospel call isn't for this life or just for a public profession, as a great mercy as that is. And it's a right one. And if we're living souls, we'll be exercised not just about taking up our cross and following him, but walking with him and that maintenance in following him. But it's an eternal one. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. You know, I do. The Lord Jesus. That seems so blessed to me, you know. What a great mercy, dear friend, that we will hear. God will speak effectually. And we may. What a solemn thing to be blind, isn't it? A solemn thing to be deaf. You know, have you noticed? with Sardis, with Laodicea, despite their condition, he still shows them, and it's not an offer, but he puts before them his mercy and his grace, room to repent, and he gives it to them. The Lord makes that room to repent. The Lord makes the room to repent. If he begins to knock on our hearts and circumstances, a speaking voice. Friend, it is to draw our soul to him. It may be over a particular matter. But the point is, he's putting that right that you may worship him and look to him and leave aside all these personal things, disputes, arguments, involvement in this, involvement in that, the world and this difficulty. Oh, friend, oh, that we might cast our care on him. To actually do it. To actually do it. He sometimes knocks in our affections and our desires to lead us unto himself. But I do it. I do it. I, dear friend, I bless God many times. He dealt with me quite severely and blew on all I was doing and my ambition. I've often felt it like this, as if the ground, we were on a carpet and the Lord had come along and pulled it, and I went over and got no standing. He deals with us. He deals with us. Why? I stand. I do. Thy Redeemer, thy Lord, you may not say that straight away. Sure you won't, but you will by and by. It's mercy that knocks at the door. It's grace that knocks at the door. And I stand at the door of thy heart, of thy circumstance, of thy life, with an eternal knocking. Look unto me, be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will. Friend, you see, this is not a free and easy gospel. It's Christ is set before thee as an open door. Is he not there in a different context? The Lord is set before thee as the open door of mercy, of grace, but at the door of thy conscience. I stand at the door and knock. Well, I will, you know, only the Spirit can make the word effectual. There might be those, I have no idea about you. The Lord is knocking at the door of the heart. But you know, he says this, if any man will open to me, if any man, I should say, hear my voice, and open the door of his heart. Now, this is not left to chance or to ourselves. The Spirit is not saying, well, if you do, you do, and if you don't, you don't, and take it or leave it. Friend, it's none of that whatsoever. It's room for repentance. You know, it's the effectual work, but he's showing the church at Laodicea, and he shows us, grace extended, grace undeserved. I'm knocking, but you will hear my voice by and by. You know, I've known what it is, friends, solemnly to go on and on and on, and hardly taking heed to what the Lord is saying. Yet I knew it was him, until in the end, friend, we've got to desperate straits, and then we turn. Such is the hardness of heart. Grace forbearing with us a long time. The Lord forbearing with us. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, oh, for grace, dear friends, to hear the voice. You know, the spouse in the church, in the canticles, The Lord said, I'm coming to my garden, my sister, my spouse, and so forth. And she says, I sleep, but my heart waketh. 'Tis the voice of my beloved that knocketh. Is the Lord knocking? What a mercy came to knock. How he told her of himself. You know, it meant something to her, though she was asleep. It's the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, and so forth. I put off my coat. How shall I put it on? Oh, dear friend, I know this is deep teaching and it may not be able to be understood by everyone, but, oh, the awfulness of being unprepared for the Lord's visit. Put off my coat. You know, she's laid aside her profession as it is in a private way. You think about it, friend. Oh, you don't put off your coat in chapel, do you? Keep it on. But when you go home, it's all laid aside, is it? I think we've all got the same common sin, you know. But he comes, you. He comes. He still comes. And he finds her. You know, he was grieved. She wasn't ready. It's very obvious to me. My beloved put his hand in by the hole of the door. My bowels were moved for him. You see, she's still his beloved and he's still her beloved. She's still his sister, his spouse, high language. But, you see, he puts his hand in to draw her, to wake her, because he loves her. But he will show her, and he withdraws himself. He will show her where she is. You know, she's washed her feet, she's quite comfortable. I'm not ready for the battle. You know, I've washed my feet. I must have a little rest here, a little arbour of my happy circumstances. My bowels are, you know, dear friend, there's grace. You may be unready. You may feel yourself to be less than the least. You may feel yourself to be a worthless wretch. But do your bowels move for him? Has your heart touch for him? Does your soul, do you long for him? And even though he weighs you in the balances sometimes, even though he searches you out, you know, I know my sheep, I search for them, I search them out. He finds where they are, you know. What grace, the one in the ditch. There's the one in the ditch. Ditch of temptation. He's fallen into the temptation and he can't get out of it. He leaves the 99 and he goes. He goes. It's, what a gospel. Poor old sheep, you know. In the ditch he won't see his shepherd coming, will he? But his shepherd's sure to come. And he does come. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and so forth. Open to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. This is, friend, this is living language. This is a living soul. This is the spouse of Christ. My soul failed. I sought him, but I could find him not. I called him, but he gave me no answer. Well, I won't go on with that account, the watchman, and so forth. They took away my vow. You know, oh, dear friends, behold, I stand at the door and knock. I will leave it perhaps that first part now. If any man hear my voice, may the friend, it's your Lord that speaks. It's your Lord that's knocking, you know. He's knocking. I feel I need this word tonight. I know I felt it was given me to come with. And I've nearly turned to verse 8. It seemed so attractive earlier on. You know, it's the Lord that speaks. It's the Lord that knocks. It's your beloved. Him whom your soul loveth. Who you long for. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, or just one other thought, is in Luke. And ye yourselves like unto men, but wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Blessed are those servants who are found watching. You know, dear friend, you think of the contrast with the Lord's own words, with the description in the Canticles. You know, oh, she put off her coat. Yet you know, she was, as a word, the Apostle says, I'm not saying it's her case, but there is a similarity. She was saved as by fire. She was searched out, yet she was brought back to him. By and by, she found him. Or perhaps there's some poor wandering, oh, if only I'd not a wretched nature that I have, if only I'd got a better nature. Friend, no one's got a better nature. It's by his grace we are what we are. And this is eternal teaching. Even the sheep in the ditch, even the sheep over there, lost, miles away, the good shepherd leaves the 99. He goes and he brings back that sheep. The lost son, the prodigal son. Look, slay the fatted calf. Let's make merry. He was lost, but he's found. Grace, friends, grace, grace. If any man hear my voice, hear my voice. May we be given grace to hear his voice. See, the spouse knew it. Friend, you will know his voice. Do you know it's the voice of the Lord speaking to you in your trials and circumstances? It's the Lord that's speaking. Look to him, wait for him, fall at his feet. If any man hear my voice and open the door. You know, the Lord knows how to open the door. You know, that thought comes, which I know I started to quote Ephesians, but that word seems to come to me. You know, what a hearing. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. Does it mean anything? Loved when dead in sins. Not the sin loved, but the soul loved. Loved while dead in sins. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. With Christ. With Christ. Gospel. A day of salvation. You know, there's nothing of flesh here, is there? It's all of his sovereign, free mercy. And you'll hear his voice. Mercy draws, friends. Mercy draws. It's mercy that draws. And it's mercy that's drawn us. Friend, how are you drawn? Draw me. We will run after thee. Draw me, Lord. Draw my soul to thee, my Lord. Make me love thy precious word. Draw me. We will run after thee. Any man hear my voice and open to me. Open to me. Well, the spouse of God will open. Will open. friend, will open. And it doesn't mean that you do anything. What opens the earth? What opens the earth for the rain? The atmosphere. The earth opens to receive the rain. There's a difference, you know, between well, I'd better be careful what I say, because in the presence of some of you here, you'll soon see my ignorance, but I've actually felt this and seen the difference in the garden. You go round on a hot day in the evening, the cool, and then go round watering. You know, it's quite different. There seems to be a different atmosphere. When it rains, it's a natural supply. There's nothing like the rain, the natural rain of heaven upon the plants and the earth. There's a different reaction. I don't know this scientifically. It's only what I've noticed. Poor old thing I am. But you know, I suppose we have to water. But oh, there's nothing like the rain of heaven to come down and water the earth. The earth opens up, and so, dear friend, a man's warning is like the watering can. You know, but when the Lord speaks, friend, he opens up the heart. That's how it's opened. It's not down to us. He opens it. It's effectual calling. It's a drawing. But here he's showing forth the grace, the condition, the impossibility of your heart being open. But if you do open it, it's not down to the church. He's showing the mercy still. You see, it's like the principles of obedience, obeying God, doing his will, doing his word. We do it by grace. The Lord demands it. The gospel brings it to pass. And what causes us to obey his word? Love, grace, mercy, drawings. Whereas under the law, well, we can't, can we? But God demands it. He demands it under the pain of death. But the gospel softens the soul and brings the mercy and the glory of the Lord near. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Well, this is a very precious part, you know. You know, is the Lord knocking? There's something before you. Something before a soul where the Lord knocks. Friend, if there isn't, it's not the Lord that's knocking. There's a glorious truth here. I will come into him, will sup with him, and he with me. My first thought is this: made a little lower than the angels, he's come down. He's come to commune with his disciples. Made like unto his brethren. Made like unto them. You know, suffering for their sins. I will come in unto him and will sup with him and he with me. I will. Look at the dear disciples. Think of the Lord's Supper. He took the cup. You see, they were drinking in communion, those last discourses. Then he took the cup, or took the bread, and he broke it, and he opened their eyes to speak of himself. To speak of himself. You know, he says, and we'll sup with him. We'll feed with him. We'll feed with him. Feed with me. The Lord, dear friends, in that sense, has already to bear our sorrows. He has already borne the church's sorrows. Therefore, he can come now and feed his people with their grace. And he will show them he has been fed with the judgments due to them. but the glory of this truth. May we call it communion. Communion with the Lord. He says to his father, and this was in front of the disciples, and what a feast for them. All mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. As he come in, what a foundation truth. You may say that's rather high. I long to know my sins forgiven. Well, I will come back to that word, but I will move on. I think of the prophet saying, as he does, you see, this is he that knocks. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake. For mine own sake. You will praise me. You will love me. You will adore me. This is high. I know I'm speaking in a high way. The purpose of the knocking. This is the end of the matter. You know, though thy beginnings be small, yet shall thy latter end greatly increase. Oh, friend, how sad if it's not so. And it doesn't mean a big religion. It means personal adoration inside of the heart, willingness to hear his voice, longing to be with him, and you'll come through the fire, the flood, the valley, the darkness, as we said this morning, to know the Lord's sufferings, to commune with him, to value his grace, to value his mercy. I blotted it out for mine own sake. I've done this. I died for thee, and I will not remember thy sins. Look, I've supped with thee, and you'll sup with, and I'll sup with thee, and you'll sup with me. And I'll come in unto thee. Communion. Will not remember thy sins. You know, dear friends, we want the Lord to speak it to us. You know, dear friend, it's not just more than having, it's more than having a voice. It's him being made precious. And to know something of the due of his efficacy. His prevailing grace with the Father. His love in dying for us. There's the due of the Spirit. Oh, dear friends, I get worried. I think I preach far too high for people. But I can only speak the truth. Well, this is what I want. And I know you do. And I tell you what, friends, it's more than wanting. I need it. Do you need it? Do you need it? Do you need your sins forgiven? Do you long for communion? Are you brought in straits for it? Forgiveness. I've done it. Look nowhere else. Look unto me. I am he. I'm the Lord. I died, I groaned. Is your soul affected? You know what do Christ's sufferings mean to us? Oh, living soul, you long to know more of them, that you may feed on that salvation. That precious blood shed. You know, hiding isn't a theory. It's an exercise in the soul. It's longing to feel the Lord near. But I've done it. I am he. For mine own sake, will not remember thy sins. Why? You know, are you hiding there? Am I drawn there? Grace. I will come in unto him. And we'll sup with him. And he with me. Another thought comes. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Christ the way, Christ the way, the truth, the truth, the truth of the eternal love of the Father, the life. Christ is the life. Is he thy life? What a thought. Day, if he's your life, you will be crying unto him continually, even as you go about your business. I know, obviously, there are the things we have to deal with, but I'm talking about at different points in the day. We can't name them because we have different scenes every day. Your heart will be to him. The life. I'm the life of the soul. I'm the life of thy hope. You know, he did say to John, John did pray to him that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me. See, this is sonship, you see. You see, we don't just somehow become sons. We are chosen as sons. And we see Christ as our captain, our redeemer, our Lord. And a joint heir with him in heaven, God's sovereign love. Sup with him, he with me. You see, the Lord has come down, dear friends. Oh, look into Hebrews 2 and see how he humbled, and in Philippians, humbled himself. He became poor that we might be made rich, rich with him. The dear Lord's poverty, friend, is the poverty of the church, because he was made in their place. And if your poverty is any different, it's not a right one. And you're poor because you're a sinner, and you suffer as a sinner, and he suffered for our sin. But if we're found, if his poverty we feed on, then we become rich. We may not feel it, but we will there by and by in glory. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. A glory of overcoming, a triumph, friend, an overcoming, you know, and the glory of the Father's eternal love. Friends, I know this is high language, but are you exercised in this? This is what you long for. To know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his death, that I may know him. I in them, I have given them that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, they may be made perfect in one. Paul writing to the Colossians, you know, and this in a way summarizes the truth of grace, precious grace. Paul speaks of himself in the opening chapter, being made a minister and so forth, to fulfill the word of God, and he speaks of why even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. He's speaking of a glory of a mystery. And he says this, which is Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now a mystery, even the mystery, which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but is now made manifest to the saints, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery, the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What is Christ in us? Friend, tender fear, love. The effect of that grace must bring the peace longed for. The apostle speaks much of the fruit of the Spirit, joy, peace, love. But his church is in the wilderness, you see. But they're journeying in the wilderness for that great joy, peace, love above. But they get the supply now in the manna, which is Christ in you. I want to leave this with you. The hope of glory. Christ in you. Hope of glory. And Paul writes again, later in the chapter, I think, and ye are complete in him. My eyes don't actually fall on it. I think it's in the following chapter. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality in and power. Complete in him. Presented in him in the dying hour. Will come in unto him and will sup with him and he with me. Oh, what grace. Dear friends, this is are connected with that open door. Does the Lord stand at thy soul and knock at thy circumstances in thy life, in thy affairs? Does he knock? There's a purpose. Oh, the text before us. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door. Friends, this isn't laid down as an if you can do something. He shows you the danger. He makes you see your impossibility, but still he touches the heart. And open the door. I will come into him. Come into his life. Come into his soul. By the Holy Ghost. It's the Spirit within. A body's being the temple of the Holy Ghost. I'll come into him. And will sup with him. Friend, supper means evening time. Of course, I immediately think of the Lord's Supper, which I mentioned earlier. You know, to feed on Christ's sufferings, to drink of the wine of the kingdom, his cup. I will come in unto him and will sup with him. Friend, at evening time shall be light. It shall be light at evening time. Sup with him. And he with me. Dear friend, what a mercy if the Lord is knocking at our door. And what a mercy if in effectual calling we open. We open. Friend, as the earth, I tell you, friend, if the Lord sends the shower, you'll open up. By his grace, open up. Open up. I will come in unto him and will sup with him, he with me. Friend, dying, rising, overcoming love, made known to thy soul. All the preciousness of Christ. Who can speak his worth? Friend, his tenderness. See, he'll feed you with tenderness, tender mercies. His compassion. His compassions fail not. Full of compassion. You'll be brought to feed on that compassion. Those little crumbs of compassion. So undeserved. You gather the crumbs of compassion. The dogs eat the crumbs under the master's tables. You'll feed on tender mercies. The tender mercies of a living God. Sup with him. Sup with him. Tender mercies. Appointed. Perhaps just one in a dark night, one glimmer, a tender mercy. He still keeps thy soul alive, looking unto him. Sup with him, he with me. Well, I will leave it now. Oh, I still think, should I turn to verse 8, but how can I? Oh, I don't know. I get so tried. I always think there must be some easier way in preaching. I make such a heavy going of it. But you know, the Lord, I believe, dropped both the texts in within probably 4 or 5 minutes, I can't be sure. But as I was early afternoon working outside in the front, it seemed to drop in, and I felt they were to come with today. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. Oh, friends, oh, is he knocking? And we'll sup with him, and he with me. Oh, there's a lot more we could have said, but the time has gone. It's nearly 5 to 8.
Last Lord's Day amounted to £652, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Pickett is expected to preach on Friday evening, and next Lord's Day there'll be a reading service in the morning, and Mr. Jim Ince is expected to preach in the evening and administer the Lord's Supper. There will be a church meeting on Friday the 10th of May. Let us close with hymn 766. Sovereign grace, our sin abounding, ransomed souls the tidings swell. 'Tis a deep that knows no sounding, who its breadth or length can tell. On its glories let my soul forever dwell. 766.
grace of thee, Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost, abide with us each, now, forever. Amen.